Jesus can relate to feeling let down by his friends Friday. In their series, Week 1. First thing is to take a moment and ask God what he wants to show you before listening today. You can even pause this for a moment if needed. Next is the daily. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You are one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Matthew 26, 69-70. Have you ever been let down by someone you trust? Jesus can relate. Jesus ministered with a core group for 3 years. They lived with him, learned from him, and probably laughed with him too. They weren't just people on a mission. They weren't just followers, servants, or employees. They were friends, and their friendship helped sustain Jesus in his ministry. This group included the 12 disciples, as well as women like Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. They stood beside Jesus as he faced threats and endured criticism. Even when other followers fell away, these people remained faithful to Jesus. John even made a point of sharing how much Jesus loved him as a close friend. Then, everything changed. On the night Jesus was arrested, the disciples abandoned him. Jesus knew it would happen, but that didn't remove the pain of being alone in his hardest moments. Have you had a moment when you needed a friend, but no one answered the phone? A time when you felt abandoned by the people you thought you could depend on? Jesus can relate. Think of Jesus' friends. They made promises and then broke them. You'll also notice how Jesus responded to their broken promises. Jesus didn't shame them. Instead, he offered them another chance. Relationships are a risk, no one is perfect, and even the people we trust can fail us. But it's a risk worth taking. If we don't form trusted relationships, we miss out on an essential part of being human. Fear of betrayal is real, and Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. But despite the risk, Jesus still chose to trust again. Giving someone another chance isn't excusing what they did, it's simply believing that they can do better in the future. Of course, setting healthy boundaries is important. If someone regularly betrays your trust, it may be a sign you need to love them from a distance. Let's follow Jesus' lead and take a bold step of trust. Let's wisely believe the best about others and allow trust to fuel meaningful relationships. Last but not least is your two prayers for the day. First, pray, "God, what are you showing me, and what am I going to do about it?" Second, ask God to help me to see one person that I can serve through a kind word, random act of kindness, or simple gift today. If you're listening through the Epic Life app, make sure you click the back button, then click to complete the reading. If you would like to keep listening for the 4x6 plan, which is how to read through the New Testament with 4 minutes per day, 6 days a week, then here goes. This is Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Jesus told a parable to the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. "A man planted a vineyard," he said. "He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a trip. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect his share of the crop. But they beat the servant and sent him back empty-handed. The man sent another servant, but they beat him and treated him shamefully. He sent still another servant, and they killed him. He sent many others, some of them they beat, and others they killed. The owner of the vineyard had one more to send, a son he loved very much. He sent him last, hoping they would respect him. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the owner's son, "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him, and threw his body out of the vineyard. "Now what do you think the owner of the vineyard will do?" Jesus asked. "He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others." Haven't you ever read this scripture? "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." When the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, they looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew he had told the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 through 11. Do we need to start commending ourselves to you again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? For if the ministry that condemned brought glory, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? In fact, the ministry that once had glory has come to no glory at all, because of the surpassing glory of what has replaced it. For if what was transitory came with glory, what is permanent must have even more glory. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face, so the people of Israel could not see the glory that was fading away. But their minds were made dull, and to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Don't forget to click back and complete your reading or comment on the app, and we'll see you tomorrow.